Well, hey, boys.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. The Drive is live. Is Clint Sterner, Tyler Milner is in, and Will Kunkel has been with us. He's been here. He's been hanging out with us on Tuesdays here frequently. We missed you last week.
Not miss y'all.
I know it. Your ass was in Cabo.
And I hadn't
done the Cabo or Cancun. I know you have. I have never been to Mexico.
That Cabo Wabo will get you.
I never lost anything in Cancun, but I'm a Cabo guy.
The Cabo, the sport fishing alone.
You know, the crazy thing is I've not been sport fishing out there.
Yeah, that's
I'm not.
It.
That's
right. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
They have two different Cabos. All right? They got everything for you.
You can go crab fishing too if you want, Tyler.
Oh, I grew up crabbing
now.
All
that crab.
And sometimes
you bet you did.
He said, I grew up crabbing.
I bet you did. Out Mont Bellevue, man.
Yeah, you go to Cabo Wabo, you get all the crabs.
Ooh, Cabo Wabo.
Yeah, crab infested.
It'll get you in trouble, boys.
Sometimes you got to take a chance.
That is great. That is great.
That boy said snip, snip. But no, man, good time, man. I'm going to have to hit up Mexico. One time. Never been, so I've heard good things.
Oh, hell yeah. Quick flight from here, too.
Yeah, I bet.
Damn.
Frozen margarita. I'm staying off of that right there. Sorry.
You have not done Mexico at all?
I have never. Yeah, never have.
You've never
been?
I mean,
you've not got off the plane and kind of had to keep your wife tight as you get through out the gate there because you're not real sure if all those drivers are really drivers.
However, whatever scenario you create, I have never been to Mexico.
I think our neighbors to the south are plenty safe.
It's like they created a corridor in that airport just so they could bottleneck you and have 8,000 different people ask you if you need a ride.
I'm not going out of my way not to go. Done Dominican, well, obviously Aruba we just did.
They bottleneck you down, Ron, and then them sliding glass doors open up, and right outside there's probably three or four different bars.
Can you help
like
me out?
Little
what
bars.
Is, what does bottleneck you? What does bottleneck you mean?
And force everybody through a small hole, just like you force all that liquid code. Through
all that,
through
BS
that
sales pitch is right there. First time in Cabo? You want to see us? You get your first two sightseeing tours for free if you sign up for us.
Adventures. You need a driver? Yeah, no, we're good, man.
Sightseeing, I want to do.
My ass got off this plane without a plan, dude. Get out of my face,
yeah,
bro.
And then, but it opens up where I was going, Ron. It opens up, and there's two or three, maybe even four little bars there. It's the best margaritas you've ever had. If you want one of them Mezcal beers, you want one Tecate or Dos Equis Pacifico. Or whatever it is you want. Pacifico's a good one. That's a good one when you get out there in the sun. Absolutely,
I can't do it. Tyler,
Daddy would like to go down there on
it opens up. Yeah, it does. It opens right up. You don't hear this.
It yawns.
Hey, Cabo, wobble with me. You know what I'm saying?
It's
504, boys?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Gang.
Okay, it's 306. Pull the nasty.
Turn the AC down in here.
You need to turn it all down. All right. There's a lot of young cats that people are really excited for with the Texans that I think people are thinking are going to take the next step for the Texans. Even the young kids that have got drafted, from Higgins to Noel to I think obviously Will Anderson feels primed to taking another step. Derek Stingley took a step. People still think there's better there, Kamari Lassiter. But one cat we don't really talk about a lot that fits that and actually just got paid is Jalen Petrie.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Petrie has had, I'd say, kind of up and down. The first year, I thought there was real promise, although he had missed some tackles there, but I thought there was real promise. Then he came back the next year, and there were some struggles to where there was some benching that occurred. And then last year, they seemed to find a spot for him before he got injured, and it looked like he was playing the best ball he has played. He seems to kind of be the forgotten guy of the young guys, especially on defense with all the other ones they have. Do you think there's another step? You think we've seen what we can see, or do you think he was just kind of scratching at the surface on what he was going to be in the DeMeco defense and the role they found
for him. I think he is awesome for the DeMeco defense, and I think a dude like that that loves to put his nose into it will always have a spot in DeMeco's defense. He's not a ball hawk, so he's never going to be the dude that gets the credits that's deserved unless you're watching him every single week. Like, certain guys just don't end up with seven interceptions. He's going to get his one or two, his three, but what he will do is he'll create interceptions for other guys. He'll create forced fumbles for other guys to pop on, and he'll hold guys in check, set the edge, and just lay anybody out.
Yeah.
Like, he is a football player and loves the game and will always have a role with DeMeco.
Yeah, I think there's a real chance for him to take a step forward.
Yeah.
Like, take the next step. Like
he's not one that people we hear talk about a lot in that.
Because he's not that ball hawk, flashy, nine interception, you know, type of guy.
Well, I think he's been disrespected. I think the roller coaster he's been on, he went from Lovie Smith talking about this guy can play center field safety, he can play hash safety, he can play nickel in the box, this guy can do everything. It's so now he's trying to do everything. To now you're trying to fit into, in year one with DeMeco, you're trying to fit into his defense. And DeMeco ends up telling you, nah, hell, you can't do nothing. Bring your ass over here and sit right next to me in critical moments of games. To then all of a sudden, hey, you're our nickel guy, and we're going to use your instincts, and we're going to use you stopping the run and rushing the passer. All kind of. So it's kind of been a roller coaster to where I think, to me, it's been very difficult for the player, Jalen Petrie, to settle in to what the hell he is and who he is. And what do you want out of me?
The initial role, he was getting beat over the back of his head all the time, though, and I think that's when DeMeco.
Because
this role ain't your role.
Yeah, well, he was playing safety. I remember when it all went down was Amari Cooper down the sideline when Amari Cooper went for 250 yards against us down the sideline, yep. and Petrie didn't get over the top, and it was a cover two. Well, look, when was the last time you saw him in a cover two safety? Right, that play, I believe. So he was playing out of pocket. That's why I mean it's like it's just been. I don't know if disrespectful is right. Like, I think to his game. Like, I think the one where I'm going with all of this is I think the one unknown in his game, because what you mentioned, Kunk, is all legit. I think the instincts are absolutely elite. And
well, I think that's what hurts him in the back when he's playing back, because his eyes are.
Yeah, sure. His eyes aren't right. But the coverage aspect, you know, he can play zone coverage, he can rush the passer, he can stop the run, set the edge, all the stuff you said. Can he cover? Because you're going to get caught in situations where Christian Kirk, Jacksonville last year, and you got a guy like that a couple of times a game, you're going to – now, it doesn't mean that you got all of a sudden – like, I don't expect him all of a sudden to be able to run with a Christian Kirk. But he's got to know, hey, back your ass up, right? Read the route. If it's the over route, use your instincts to read that route and stay over the top, see the ball, and break the ball up instead of getting underneath and getting beat over the top. Like, he's – the to me – that part of his game is either going to, it's either going to, like, at some point he's going to get exposed. Like, he's exposed in a positive way or a negative way. Like, exposed in a, and he can do it.
That's the thing, because DeMeco did a great job of hiding
him. Yes,
and putting absolutely. Him in positions. But there were just moments, like you talked about that. The one that comes to mind, we talked about it earlier on the show at the crosstalk, was old Ben Johnson would find ways late in the game to find St. Brown yep. matched up on five.
Whew.
And they got some big third downs where he was able to get away from. That is the big thing, is can he put himself to cover well enough to be on the field to allow all of the other stuff that he does really, really well to be a factor. That's the big thing.
Having watched him in training camp last year and how bad he was one-on-one man coverage in the slot, to where he was not, it's probably his biggest weakness still, but he improved, I thought, throughout the season to where he wasn't a detriment every single time that he was out there. He even made some plays, but I do think it's certainly his biggest weakness.
Well, that is where teams are going to attack the Texans in critical situations. And Ron, I'm not holding, we always talk about, I'm not holding the Devontae Adams, New York Jets. That's on DeMeco.
Yeah.
Like, you can't put him in that spot. But the reality of it is if the teams are going to have to go, okay, we're going to try to block them up front with five guys. And we're going to spread them out because we don't want to go at Derek Stingley. So we got to find a way to go at Kamari Lassiter and the way that he plays soft and he has that kind of nuanced like he's got a knack for being able to play with lesser talent, I think, than like a Derek Stingley, but still play at an extremely high level. They're going to find ways to get Petrie matched up in man coverages. They're going to do everything they can to do it. Can he hold up or not? Right? And it's one of those deals where with this team, with the expectations here, three or four times through 17 game season, if it doesn't hold up, he's going to be labeled, can't cover. Guy just flat can't cover. Right? There's people out there right now that think he can't cover because Davante Adams, one of the best we've ever seen in the game, beat his ass when he was pressed with no deep help. Yeah. Like offensive coordinators are really good. They're going to get him in those situations. Maybe not Devontae, but he's going to have to make plays in those situations.
Yeah, that's fine as long as it's fine if the perception is that he can't cover. If the reality is that he can't.
Yeah.
Right? To me, I don't look at the Adams situation and think he can't cover. It is if it's a constant deal of, all right, man, we know we can get an easy two-way go that results into 7 to 10 yards on second down, third down every time in a matchup on him.
DeMeco's too good. This defensive front is too good to allow them to take advantage of, I think, Jalen Petrie consistently. But there, when the moments come up, like a third down package, third and short, watch teams spread them out.
Yeah, the offensive coordinators are really, really good, yes.
Yeah.
But so is DeMeco.
Yeah, agreed.
And they've got safety help this year. You got CJ, you got Kalen, you've got Jimmy, whatever happens with Jimmy, and you have Jalen. So now you can even pick and choose your moments with these guys and put them in the best situations at all times.
Well, you get a guy like Arnett that can actually play. He's still got something, or the Jalen Smith kid out of USC they drafted in the third round. You get a third corner that's actually a cover corner. You slide Kamari Lassiter down there in critical situations, and you put the other corner outside. Now you've got a coverage strong nickel package that doesn't consist of Jalen Petrie. You could even move him to dime at that point in time and play his, and keep him in that box vibe and that linebacker mentality, safety mentality up near the line of scrimmage. So there's ways to go about it. That's going to take a couple other guys panning out from a coverage perspective.
But I love his ability to make plays close to the line of scrimmage. I don't think you can replace that.
No question.
And I think
you
work with it.
No, I've never. He's a guy like I've never understood the poor tackling take on Jalen. Now don't get me wrong. There were times in critical moments when players made him miss in the backfield. I'm like, he's in the open field. He's 3 yards deep in the backfield.
Yeah, and those guys are really good at making y'all miss.
Yeah,
like, they're elites.
Like, I mean, you expect him to make that. Okay, I mean. So I think that's a little bit unfair with Jalen Petrie, to be completely honest
with
you.
Zach loves to tackle.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but I think he's settling into his role now. The point being is, like, I just, for over 3 years, we've seen that cat been asked to do all kind of different crap. Mm-hmm. And now I think he's finally settling into something where, hey, I can master my craft, if you will.
It reminds me of Alex Smith having, like, five different offensive coordinators his first 5 years of his career, whatever it was. And it's like, this guy sucks. Well, I mean, give him, like, 2 years with the same dude. Let Jalen do what he does well for just 2 years, and let's see how he grows.
Yeah, Tyler, I think Will happens to be one of those guys. Will seemed to be very appalled because he saw a grown man put three packages of ketchup.
I almost said something to him.
No, you did.
Yeah, me and my buddy.
Where was the setting?
Ketchup's for children.
Yes, it is for. It's the most childish condiment on earth.
And tomatoes are just gross.
I disagree there. But those aren't even tomatoes. Ketchup ain't even tomatoes. Like,
so you don't,
that needs
you,
to
you
stop.
Don't, you won't use ketchup on anything.
I'm not saying I won't use it. Okay. I acknowledge what it is, but it certainly doesn't live on a hot dog alone. Three packets worth. That's like putting on your mashed potatoes as an adult, or on your ketchup, or on your steak.
You mean to tell me you were... It reached you so much, you almost felt led to say
something. We were standing next to him, and I almost, I looked at him, because my buddy pointed it out, and he goes, there's a dude over there putting three packets of ketchup on his, hot dog. And, these are, good hot dogs, not like some crap dog.
I want to give that sausage a whirl.
It was good. And he's putting three, you want to put one on and accompany it with your mustard or, whatever.
But it was.
Bro, you couldn't see the dog.
Where were you at?
So, shout out to Easy's Bar and Liquor Lounge in Heights. Elite hot dogs. Great hot dogs.
Take a trip.
I'm telling you. They put celery salt in the bun. Real good. They know what they're doing up there. But this dude just crapped all
over
it.
Well, I'd have pissed you off. I'd have purposely gone and grabbed four and five.
Oh, what a waste.
Hold on,
so. It all over there if you came over there and said something to me about
mess
it.
Mess up your hot dog if you want.
Let that man live.
He can said, you not find the ketchup packets, sir?
It, my man said it has to accompany. So,
I need to get to a point where I just find myself in a hot dog joint with one of my boys on a round.
I'm not just at a hot dog joint and one of my boys. Like, could you imagine Clint us being in line saying, "Look at this,
grab a dog.
Hey, look at this joke over here."
Sizzler, have a happy hour.
Hey, look, he already got.
They sell $2 dogs during Astro games.
Hey, he already got two packs. Oh my God, he's grabbing the third one.
What are you, seven?
What are you two? Maybe he was making it for his kid, man.
No,
he
dove in.
Saw him eat it too.
He dove in.
He said, not in that bar.
Oh, thank you.
Ladies out there, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. If you saw a gentleman going straight ketchup by himself on a hot dog, is that a turnoff? Sally, Mel, all of our lady listeners.
Well, it depends on how big a bite he's taking.
Jen, Lauren Mack, is that a turnoff right there?
I mean, it turned Kunk the hell off, that's for sure.
I'll bet you he took two bites of the dog, too.
It said this.
I love the size of the bite's very important in this discussion.
Thanks, Will. Man. We always have fun with you. Coming up, man. A little real or fake. You know the drill. I asked I have a statement. You tell me if it's real or fake. We'll do that coming up next.
Buttery nipple.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Well, he is getting nailed on this ketchup take. I thought many people would have agreed with him.
Oh, I would have thought so. I agree with him.
I mean, I would say, yeah, someone said the ketchup take is awful because the real criminal is mustard.
Oh, that's what goes on a hot dog. If we're talking strictly glizzies, if we're talking about a Daikin dog,
hold on, all that goes on that thing
is mustard and maybe cheese.
Stop teaching me all these. If we're talking strictly what?
Glizzies.
Help me.
You've never heard the term glizzy.
I've never heard
I was late glizzies. On that. I'm not judging. This
glizzies?
Was
glizzies?
This was a term in glizzy. The last year or two.
Am I saying it correctly?
Glizzy, yes. This is a term in the last year or two that was one of the first moments that really kind of made me realize that I'm getting older.
Clint, have you ever heard of the term glizzies? Because you used it. I mean, you used it.
I know what they are now.
You used it like it's a part of your normal vernacular.
It is, I guess it.
Have you ever heard of this? Use it again in a sense. Come on, try to go back like you did.
Joey Chestnut really pounded down some glizzies.
So hot dogs are called glizzies?
Yes. I had to ask Santiago about that a couple of years ago because I was in the dark.
Ain't no way Clint has heard of that. Not a chance.
No.
I've heard Tyler say it.
You've heard Tyler say glizzies before?
Yeah, in here. I asked him, it was a week or two ago when he said it. I said, where the hell, what is a glizzy?
A little glizzy action. All you need is mustard.
It's
easy. Look, it's the glizzy. Why is a hot dog called a glizzy? The comparison between a gun and the iconic snack seems to come from the elongated length of the hot dog.
The wiener shape.
Which is similar to a handgun's extended magazine. Thus,
or a shaft.
The word glizzy crossed over from guns to grub and began to be used to refer to hot dogs on the East Coast from D.C. before spreading to wider audiences.
So clearly, our genitalia is a glizzy.
Correct.
A glizzy is, depending on where you're at, referred to as a Glock. So, I mean, I might want to be careful. I don't know what we call in Houston. We may be talking about a Glock.
Yeah, so I may get it confused.
I got different kinds of glizzy.
It is. The magazine looks like a hot dog. Don't know why, so hot dogs are now referred to as glizzies.
That's the first time I heard it. You said it. You ran through it. I was like, I don't know what he's saying.
We're all about educating right here on this program.
Yeah, good. Good, yeah. Good education. Speaking of education, let's do a little real or fake. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. I see you, Joel. I see you, Champ, Cam, PayPals, or PowPals, excuse me. See you.
PayPal, you better be careful.
That's on my
He's
mind.
He's on them emails over
Sorry.
Here.
Sorry. I got it.
Jeffrey.
Ain't nothing like, boy, you get up, you see 16 PayPal charges just roll up on your account. Hold on, what in the hell?
I've been at the gym and work. I ain't even pulled out my card.
I've been looking at floors today. A little real or fake. I say a statement. You tell me if it is real or fake. Number one, Tyler, Will Anderson will be the highest paid defensive player in football with his next contract. Will Anderson will be the highest paid defensive player in football with his next contract. Real or fake?
So dependent on just who's setting the market at what time and at what moment. But I'm not using them cop-outs. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes.
You think so? Because I'm going to say when it's his turn. So you say it's real.
If he can put together a semi, you know, healthy 17-game season this year and keep doing what he's doing in the pass rush, then yes, I believe so.
Because before you answer, we know right now – Myles Garrett has said it, but as Myles Garrett has said, now we're hearing rumblings out of Dallas that it's going to be a record-setting deal for Micah Parsons, so he'll probably reset it. And then we're looking at, well, actually, next year's as early as Will can get signed. Wonder if they stagger him and CJ. The question to you, Clint, is Will Anderson, is he reset the market? When it is his turn, will he become the highest paid defensive player in football with his next contract?
No.
You got false? Really?
You are fake news.
Ron, I think he's a great player. And I think they were going to overpay him here, because, and rightfully so, because I think he means more to Houston than he means to what you look at in terms of stats. But 18 total sacks in 2 years? That is a – say of what you want. And I disagree with the thought, but the reality is that position gets paid for one stat, and that's sacks. I don't know that 7-11 is going to get it.
It would, and I think a lot of what I think Tyler is saying and what some people who are saying real is that he takes another jump this year, right? He took a jump from year 1 to 7 to 11. He takes another jump. And Clint, that other part, like, Clint, if he's a 16, 17 sack guy, let me check this, 15, 16, 17 sack guy and plays the run like he does along with this team and how they feel about him, they don't play no games, right? We saw Derek Stingley Jr. reset the cornerback market, and you know, obviously, ends get paid more. They usually are the ones, pass rushers, the ones who make the most. I think this team won't fool around with it. All right, man, we'll he means a lot to us. We'll get it done what we get done. As I see some people coming in saying, Will Anderson might be a great player, but he's not Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons. I think he is very highly thought of. I literally kind of what made me bring this thought up is I saw Colin Cowherd do a question of he did a deal of five players, defensive players that he would pay no matter, doesn't matter. Micah Parsons wasn't on the list for him. Five players. He said Will Anderson was number six. Will was not on the list. He said Will Anderson was number six with his age and all that. I think it was Chris Jones, Patrick Surtain, Myles Garrett.
Quite frankly, it's bullshit.
It's hard to remember right now. No, Aiden wasn't up there. He didn't have him up there. There's some obvious ones, but I think he does. I think it's real.
You think he sets a mark?
I think it's real. I think he's going to have a big year. I think he's going to jump up over the 11 and get to 14, 15 sacks, especially with this defense. And I think he probably gets to, you know, an all-pro potential level year three, kind of like Stingley did. And at that point, with his age, it is going to be reset. It's going to be his turn. Now, I don't think he's better than Myles Garrett. Hell, I don't know that I think he's better than T.J. Watt. But the age and the timing, I think. Woo! Potentially puts him there.
Looking at the
Texans want him.
Well, that's the deal. The Texans are going to overspend on C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson, and rightfully so. Though it definitely will. I mean, Will is the one that to me the part that the reason that some folks, not that it's right, but the reason that some folks would say they ain't interested in paying Michael Parsons is exactly why you sink it all into Will Anderson. I mean, that is a true cornerstone. That is a J.J. Watt type player. That he's a player that you ultimately, as long as that guy's on your team setting the bar, everybody else takes their game to the next level. Offseason, working out, practice, game day, pushing it through injuries, the attitude you bring every day to practice, the attitude you bring every day, the energy you bring every day to the building, like that is why you pay Will Anderson. I'll agree with that, not for the sacks, but setting the market, that's going to be a huge number. And I, to your point, if he gets up in the teens, hell yes he will, without a doubt.
How many sacks do you think it takes? Because you're right. As much as we could say, it is a numbers position. Like, sacks is going to be a huge key thing for him. I'd say 15.
I'd say just improving on what he had. 12, 11? Yeah, I mean, you get into 12, 13, 14 range. I mean, now you've checked that box and we keep it moving. I just don't know how you justify setting the market with a guy like that if he goes up there. Because he seriously could deserve that money and have 8 sacks. The way that he impacts the game, the way he impacts his team. But that'll be the question is, does he get it, you know, if he doesn't go just go ham on these sacks this year?
Last one. The Rockets are a top 3 team in the NBA right now. Real or fake?
Right now.
The Rockets. The Houston Rockets are a top 3 team in the NBA. Real or fake?
I would say real.
Yeah.
I would say real. I think other teams are going to make moves, and I think they could slide a couple spots for me come season time. But right now?
With the injuries to Boston, the injuries to the Pacers, now people are talking about the Atlanta Hawks are a top 4 potential team with the moves they've made. It's hard for me to put anybody, with the exception of OKC, in front of them right now, the way their team is constructed.
Denver just made a move that makes
Denver made a couple of moves. They traded Porter Jr. for Cam
Johnson.
Cam Johnson, maybe a more consistent shooter and healthy player and better defender than Michael Porter Jr. And they added Bruce Brown, who was on their championship team, off the bench, who they let go. So, yeah, they're in space, but I would still have the Rockets right now over the Nuggets. So I think they're a top 2 team right now in the league. All right, as we continue right here on The Drive, let's look at the division with the Texans, because there is a potential move that is happening, and I wonder where Texans fans feel. Are the Texans in better shape if this player takes over? We'll discuss what that means coming up next.
Oh, show, Clint. I love the show, man.
Live from the Mokarum Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we continue rolling here. Shout out to Will Conkle, who joined us here. If you missed it, he was with us about 2:25 all the way until the first segment of the 3 o'clock hour. So it was a good time with him. Make sure if you're out and Will is near you, avoid the ketchup, folks. avoid the ketchup.
You don't want to
run in. Oh yeah, he must hate Patrick Mahomes and his
eating. Right.
And I'll be frank with you, I do too. I would tell Mahomes to his face, you got to be kidding me.
What do you do?
Oh, you know, he's big ketchup on the steak guy.
I'm not above putting ketchup on old raggedy ass steak, on a $2 steak. I mean, I don't do it, but
and Patrick Mahomes flying around on your private jets are eating some cheap ass nasty steak.
These Texas quarterbacks, I can't.
White House's own.
Don't take it out of context. Now, I'm sure he's not eating cheap steak. I'm telling you, if I had something that I just needed to put some kind of sauce on to make it edible, I would not be opposed to throwing ketchup or some A1.
It was one of the first things when we heard that, I was like. Again,
if you're going to take me back, you don't need to put anything on it.
Of course. I don't care what. But even if a steak is rough, man, I'm going to go for some A1 first.
Well, my wife's an A1 gal, so I'll go for A1 as well.
Before I get to Heinz or whatever.
Hey, old Kermit the Frog.
It was one of them.
You just took Heinz to Heinz. Another level?
Heinz.
Maybe onto something there. Maybe a great steak sauce. You sure that's not what Pat was eating?
He said ketchup. That was one of the things that made me check up. If you got to remember, this was like 2016 or whatever. When I said to my 2017, I said, should have went with Deshaun. If Deshaun don't put steak on his, put ketchup on his steak.
It wasn't steak and ketchup you worried about.
He put a little something before. Else. He had fun with a little something else. With this
he wasn't putting ketchup on his steak. And I ain't sure if you don't read them complaints close enough, you may not find some ketchup being involved.
People were yearning for him to put ketchup on steak.
That's right. For that to be the problem.
Instead of the stuff he was doing.
Oh, hell.
He ain't lying, but he ain't got a Jackson Mahomes. You wish he had one of those?
Well, you're talking about somebody that fell off the face.
Good God, man. Sean?
I mean, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Mahomes' brother.
Oh, well, hey, it's good. They finally got to him, man.
No question. I didn't think my Pat was ever going to shake that
lawsuit that lady handed down to him in the back of that restaurant, it's really kind of
with Pat. Pat must have bought him a house in California or something. Just get as far away from KC as you can, son.
Hey, man, how many family meetings do you think Pat had to call with all of them? Randy, you have got to calm down. Pops, seriously.
Put down the
Everyone
bottle,
can see that fingernail, what that fingernail means, what you're doing every day. You're not even trying to hide it.
Let me hear you say hell yeah.
Jackson, go to another dev. You don't go to another place. Brittany, just leave the champagne alone. All of it. He went off on his kids.
What?
Sterling, and you too. Kids, well, he can't control it. Speaking of quarterbacks, I think, Clint, you believe the Colts, to you, if there is anybody that you think could be close to the Texans in this division, you think it's the Colts, right?
Yes, I believe in the Colts and Shane Steichen more than I believe in the others, yes.
Yeah. I probably lean more to Tyler's favorite, Jacksonville, but I can understand the Colts. As we know, we're inching closer to training camp with the Texans, and that's happening around the league as well. And their reports are, Clint, is that Daniel Jones in Indianapolis, first off, Anthony Richardson is, as I said, he'll be full go with that shoulder issue that kept him out of mandatory minicamp and OTAs. He should be full go when training camp starts. But the word on the street is Daniel Jones, a quarterback for the Colts, has a significant lead, according to sources, over Anthony Richardson in their battle to be the week one starter. And my thought is that the best scenario for the Texans? 713-572-416, YouTube and Twitch. Is that the best scenario? If you are one who believes, like Clint, that the Colts are probably the team that has the best chance to come close to competing with the Texans in the South, is it a better thing for the Texans that Daniel Jones, if he's the starter?
I don't think so. No, I think the best.
Oh, you don't.
I think the best case scenario would be Anthony Richardson. He is obviously
still,
there.
Huh?
Oh yeah. No, I'm talking about for the Texans.
Oh, like for the Texans.
D'Amico Ryans would rather prepare for Anthony Richardson, okay, a guy that'll tap out, a guy that'll throw into coverage, a guy that'll hold the football, a guy that'll get overwhelmed, a guy that's injury prone. I would think that D'Amico Ryans would rather prepare for that guy. As crazy as it sounds, because we know he can make something out of nothing. I mean, he's special in that arm and that athletic ability. But when you take a guy like Daniel Jones, and admittedly, I'm a little higher on Daniel Jones. I was completely out on Daniel Jones when he got drafted. I'm not a fan or a believer right now. I'm just not as much of a hater or I've not lost as much belief as the rest of the country. I think Daniel Jones will be fine with Shane Steichen in a what I think is a little bit more functional organization. A guy that is has proven to be a really good offensive mind in Philly. I think Daniel Jones is more equipped to handle the pressures and making decisions and getting the ball out of his hands and understanding how to kind of defend, offensively defend against pressures that, you know, that a D'Amico Ryan's defense can force on you. So, yeah, I think a Daniel Jones-led offense in Indy scares me more than a Anthony Richardson.
The ceiling is clearly higher of their offense if Anthony Richardson
is
the quarterback. But the floor, yep, the floor is – That is it. Someone's texting in. No, better if AR-15 is. He can't kill us with his arm. No, I want a Rich as a full-time starter. He actually scares me as a gadget guy in a limited role. Agree with Clint. Jones is dangerous.
Here's what you got to remind. Here's what you got to remember in this conversation.
I can't call him dangerous, but I kind of understand what you're saying.
Well, here's what you got to remember is the guy that took that team and pushed the Texans to the limit 2 years ago in terms of winning the division was an undersized, lesser than quarterback that just understood he was crafty, getting the ball out. There was nothing special about him. That guy paired up with Shane Steichen is dangerous. I mean, just generally, not as a player, but just as a whole, I think Shane Steichen has a real good chance to get back to some of the stuff he was doing before with Jalen Hurts with a guy like Daniel Jones.
Here's my thing is, and I think you'll know what I'm talking about with this, because what was the best that we saw Daniel Jones? The moment that led to Daniel Jones getting $80 million, the best we saw from Daniel Jones is when Daboll had him that 1 year and they had Saquon Barkley behind him. But he probably rushed for 700-plus yards. And that was – because he's never thrown for 4,000 yards. I don't think he threw for 3,500 that year. He didn't throw for a lot of yards. And my thing is either way is – How is Shane Steichen going to use either one of them? Because the legs have to be a huge deal for both of them. I am still, as nuts as I am still one that is, I know what the hell I'm going to get from Daniel Jones. I feel like I can fluster. I feel like I know what I can get from Daniel Jones. That Anthony Richardson, I know he can be erratic and throw in the football. But he makes me a little bit nervous because even when he plays, bad, they still seem to be in games because within his bad, like something occurs where he is able to keep them in game. So for me, I'd rather have Daniel Jones. But I think ultimately, whoever it is Shane Steichen going to be willing to say, hey, I'm going to use the legs of the quarterbacks like the way I did Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia? And it seemed to be he was scared off of doing that with Andy Richardson. I understand the injuries there. But if he's going to use – he can't, to me, use Daniel Jones the way he used Gardner Minshew and just drop him back and throw him. I don't think the strength of his game.
Well, no, you wouldn't. I mean, that would be using him left-handed, right? I mean, not using his athletic ability, I think, is crazy because he is not Anthony Richardson, but he's a better passer of the football and a slightly lesser athlete than Jalen Hurts. I mean, that's just the reality of it. If that guy can take – them sorry-ass Giants in the NFC East to the playoffs, he can damn sure do some work with the Colts in this division here. So, I think Shane Steichen uses the legs. The interesting thing about Anthony Richardson, just to put a bow in the conversation, is I'm curious because we've said it a million times. I am blown away with the game plan that Shane Steichen brought in here with Anthony Richardson last season. I'm blown away. I wonder how much of that had to do with the injury issues. I mean, obviously it's in the back of their mind, but if you remember correctly, I believe Shane Steichen said we're going to use him the same as if there never was an injury. That's not going to change the way we use him. And then you go out there and you treat him like Gardner Minshew. Like
when he dropped that brother back inside to 10-yard line with
come on man
in a one possession game with under 2 minutes left to read defenses, that was some strange.
Well, hell, it started like that. It started like that when Jonathan Taylor was rattling off the first few runs. It was just gashing them, and he goes back to throwing RPOs and stuff.
End of the half, it was Petrie who got the pick. He just sat there and said, "Yeah, man, here we go. Here it is."
Yeah.
And they were still, oddly enough, somewhat in that game. But we'll see what happens there. But that could be the stiffest test for the Texans. What you got coming up in the four?
My guy, Rafael Stone, baby. I tell you, he's done a hell of a job with them Rockets, but I done heard him talking about stats, and he just holds a special place in my heart with an opinion like this. Them Rockets and Reese's has done something. Reese's peanut butter cups, one of the best candies out there. They've done something, Tyler, that I think's gonna make your mouth water a bit. We'll talk about that next.
I'm a Reese's fan.
We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
I can't say that I'm not going to ride a motorcycle again.